This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. Federal courts are reporting 216 farm bankruptcies were filed in 2024. That's up 55% from the previous year. Terrain's executive head, John Newton, said the margins have been tightening over the last 3 years.
I mean, the Chapter 12 bankruptcies they're historically low, but they're trending in the wrong direction because of the stress that we've seen in the crop sector in particular. The livestock sector's done, it's fared better in recent years with record cattle prices and higher milk prices, but in the crop space, you are starting to see that stress.
According to the American Farm Bureau, Chapter 12 bankruptcies in the Midwest had a double-digit increase in filings from 2023 to 2024.
U.S. Midwest will see one significant storm system during the next 2 weeks, with the system bringing a potential flooding for the Ohio River Basin. World Weather Incorporated says that system is advertised for Sunday into Wednesday of next week. The northern plains will be unusually warm over the coming week, with some light rain or even snow possible. World Weather says a snowstorm is possible March 3 and 4, but that's most likely to impact the southern half of the northern plains.
A wetter weather pattern will occur over the next 2 weeks in central west Brazil that will slow field work and any remaining soybean harvest. World Weather Incorporated saying the remainder of southern Brazil and Paraguay will see regular rounds of light rain over the next 2 weeks. However, southeastern Brazil will miss out on any significant rain. Southern and central Argentina will benefit from daily rounds of rain through Wednesday. World Weather says the rain will spread into much of northern Argentina Thursday, continuing through the following week. Southern Argentina will remain mostly dry.
Late Friday, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency announced the agency's decision to uphold the current April 28, 2025 implementation date to provide parity for E15 and E10 in Midwestern states. Minnesota Corn Growers Association President Jim Canton said this was great news.
We're very pleased that EPA decided to follow through with this petition that several Midwest governors had put in a while ago to allow E15 to be sold year-round.
Canton said he is hopeful that there can be a permanent solution soon.
We're hoping that this can be fixed legislatively to have a permanent instead of like a patchwork of some states that you can and some that you can't. Right now, Congress is working on the Nationwide Consumer and Fuel Retailer Choice Act. That is a bipartisan bill that will allow E15 to be sold nationwide permanently. We're hoping that can get passed in the near term to solve this problem.
South Dakota Corn Executive Director Danita Murray is pleased that South Dakota is also included in that waiver.
We strongly support year-round E15 sales both here, and of course the real holy grail here we're looking for on E15 is year-round nationwide sales. We're excited that this can happen in South Dakota. Certainly, I think the question is, will there be states like Ohio that have decided to request a year delay? We certainly have hope that South Dakota does not go down that path, and we're excited for this opportunity.
Murray's not sure how the transition from the summer sales waiver to year-round E15 sales would look.
I think it depends on the fuel market. Folks, on the plus side, folks have seen this coming down the pipe for a while, and hopefully, those retailers are prepared to do what they need to do.
Lowen & Associates market analyst Matt Hine says traders continue to watch South American weather and demand.
Kind of just a quiet trade, a little bit of profit-taking going on here over the past few sessions, especially in the wheat market. We hit some new recent highs for corn and all three wheat last week. Just kind of been spiraling a little bit lower ever since that. Really not a whole lot of news. A little bit better weather in South America. Brazil's soybean harvest moving right along, second crop corn getting in the ground, and did see that conditions in Argentina were improved by a couple points as well last week.
Grain markets are trading down today with wheat leading the way. Total Farm Marketing's Brian Doherty said the market is seeing less of a concern for late plantings in South America.
For instance, the state of Mato Grosso in Brazil, very, very large, largest contributor. And anyway, they're caught up to the five-year average planting pace. So there's some outliers in there. In 21, the crop was in later, but nonetheless, it's the trend of catching up that I think the reality is hitting the marketplace. So there's that. You've got first notice day coming up at the end of this week. That's when deliveries can be made against futures. A lot of times you'll see traders who are long maybe move out before that. They don't want to take the chance of being delivered against. You've got cash contracts coming due. Farmers roll or they sell, right? Well, it's come up enough. I think they've been selling. And then you've got some chart weakness today. Market push below pretty decisively the 10-day moving average today.
Doherty said the cattle on feed report on Friday was basically factored in to the markets.
You got feeders up anywhere from 185 to 237 currently. That's likely a reflection of weaker corn prices. And a little strength in the deferred live cattle, anywhere from 70 to 82 higher. There's a contingent of analysts out there who are thinking, well, the market has made its overdue correction on the lives. Is it time for a rebound? I would say what it's doing now is consolidating. I talked about that 10-day moving average before. Well, that's holding that market in check.
The Minnesota Department of Agriculture has expanded its Minnesota-grown Cream of the Crop contest for schools and family daycares. Contest is designed to showcase local food for students and support farmers. Educators have until April 11th to apply. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. A down day so far in the grains, wheat leading the way down. Bolt Marketing's Dwayne Bossy said corn and wheat looking a little toppy today.
I mean, there's some bullish news out there, but until we see better demand or less production here in the U.S., wheat doesn't have to exactly take off. And then over the weekend, there's negative trade talk again between us and China. Some tariffs are... costs we're putting on Chinese vessels as they come into our ports and kind of increasing as time goes on. I don't totally understand the tariffs or the expenses that we're adding on to them, but I do know this, that China was not happy about it, so that doesn't make me excited for our commodities. And evidently the funds that are out there buying our commodities don't feel too excited either, so just a kind of natural pullback across everything today. You also got the February outlook form coming this Thursday and Friday. And pre-estimates are, you know, a little bit bearish for corn and maybe neutral to soybeans.
Bossy said the cattle on feed report that came out on Friday wasn't a whole lot to get excited about.
We got to remember these cattle on feed reports, you know, just compared to a year ago. Sure, placements were up 2%, but placements were down sharply last year. So it wasn't really that bearish of a placement number. And you got the cash feeder board is about $10 above the futures market. So I totally understand adding some premium back into the board here, narrow up that gap. But on the other side, the live cattle, the cash market has actually been trending lower. We had cash cattle trade from 198 to 200 last week. Well, some talk that it might be close to a bottom here. I guess time will tell. So feeders look strong, fats look a little heavy.
The weekly newsletter from Acres and Shares says 78 American Crystal Sugar Company shares sold during the week ending February 21st at an average of $5,554 per share. The high was $5,600 and the low $5,550 per share. So far this trading season, 4,927 shares have sold at an average price of $5,414 per share.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending February 20th showing corn inspections 1.13 million metric tons, 30% less than the previous week, 12% less than the same week last year. Soybean inspections 859,000 tons are 18% more than the previous week, but 19% less than a year ago. Wheat inspections 376,000 metric tons, 50% more than the previous week, but 22% less than last year. For the marketing year, corn inspections are 32% ahead of last year's pace, soybean inspections 11% more, and wheat inspections 20% ahead of last year.
Former CEO of National Corn Growers, John Doggett, is keeping a close eye on what's happening in U.S. agriculture. He talks about things to focus on moving forward.
I think taking advantage of the programs that are in front of us are very, very important. And so making sure that those funds and those programs have some continuity and people can depend on them, I think that's very, very important. Secondly, what are we going to do about trade? 96% of the world's population lives outside the shores of the U.S. And we've expanded trade, but we need to expand it a lot more. Lastly, what are we going to do about labor? And you can't go in many places in this country and not see help wanted signs. And so what are we going to do about processing those hogs and that cattle and chickens? What are we going to do about harvesting crops? What are we going to do about milking cows? Those are all questions that are being raised, and we're going to have to deal with them, and we're going to have to deal with them with a long-term objective in mind.
Doggett says not advancing climate-smart agriculture as far as some of our trading partners could stand in the way of increasing trade opportunities.
That's the kind of thing you hear from developed countries, but the undeveloped countries, the countries that are not nearly as far along, that isn't a question they're asking, but I think that they could be asking that soon, and I think maybe they are going to be working on their climate smart programs as well. There's going to be some opportunities here to expand markets, to have different revenue streams coming into that farm or ranch that will help us be more viable, and I think that's really, really important.
President Donald Trump has taken steps to block Chinese investment in sensitive U.S. business sectors, including agriculture. The Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States reviews foreign investments to determine if there are potential risks to national security. Trump's American First investment policy said China has targeted the crown jewels of U.S., citing technology, food supplies, farmland, and more. In 2022 and 2023, headlines were seen worldwide about the proposed Fugeng corn milling project in Grand Forks. The site's proximity to the Air Force base was one of the reasons the China-owned Fugeng project was eventually blocked. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Gulf Food is one of the largest food trade shows in the world, attracting tens of thousands of prospective buyers to Dubai, United Arab Emirates. U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom says the Gulf region's rebounding food service sector has heightened interest in U.S. beef.
In general, there's a lot of interest in U.S. beef, whether it's to this region or outside of this region. Everyone knows that cattle supplies are lower, cyclically lower at the moment, and a lot of interest around when the expansion could start. There's a demand for more beef, and they're wondering when there'll be more supply. So that's number one. If you look at a region like Africa, there's a lot of interest on what we're doing in Africa, a lot of interest around the upcoming West Africa trade mission to Ghana.
In addition to promoting the unique attributes of U.S. beef, the visit to Dubai also provided an opportunity to address market access obstacles that slowed last year's beef exports to the UAE.
Food service is booming. We met with several of the key players in Egypt. Hotels are virtually full, both business and resort hotels, 95 to 100% occupancy. From that perspective, food service business is doing very well. And Egypt's a good example where 2 or 3 years ago, the hotel occupancy was, you know, maybe you'd be lucky if you were 25% occupied.
Despite a fourth quarter slowdown in the UAE, beef exports to the Middle East rebounded in 2024, climbing 19% year over year to more than 52,000 metric tons. Export value also increased 12% to $230 million.
Checking quotes. May wheat Minneapolis down 11 cents, 635 and a half. May wheat Chicago's down 11 and a quarter to 592 and three quarters. KC May wheat down 12 and a half cents, 609 and a quarter. May corn down 8 and a quarter cents, 496 and three quarters. May soybeans down 9 and a quarter to 1048 even. July soybeans down 9 and a quarter as well. And new crop November soybeans 8 and a quarter lower, 1051 and a half. In Winnipeg, March canola is down $13.70 per metric ton, $6.54.10 Canadian. On the cattle side, April live cattle is up $1.15, $1.95.10. June up $1.17. August live cattle up $1.42. April feeders up $4.97 at $2.72.52. April lean hogs down 15 cents, $87.52. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.